Hello, and welcome to the Major Gifts Fundraiser Podcast. I'm Monica Van Deventer. Let me tell you a little bit about the tribe we're building here at Major Gifts Fundraiser. We're working with people like you who want to be among the very best in this field. You want to accomplish great things. You want to challenge yourself. You want to grow, and you are up for going on a journey because you know a journey is what it takes to become the very best version of yourself. You're listening to this podcast because you know that in order to be a great fundraiser, you have to spend time thinking about how you'll be a great fundraiser. You can learn more about our new online training programs at majorgiftsfundraiser.com. And without further ado, here's Clark.
Buenos dias, mis amigos. Clark Van Deventer here from Major Gifts Fundraiser. Hope that you are having a great day. I'm having an okay day. Why am I having an okay day? This doesn't sound like me, does it? But I'm back in Tuscaloosa following a weekend in upstate New York. I was at an event with a client celebrating their 75th anniversary. So it was a very exciting weekend. And as a consultant, these are always special weekends for me because I always feel like I know the client so much better. I understand them so much better when I am with them in their environment. And in this case, not just with them in their environment at their location, but at such a special celebration. So it was also, all right, so I'm giving you all the good news first, right? That was great. The other great thing is that I was able to go to the Baseball Hall of Fame this past weekend. And I have a whole commentary on this, but I loved baseball as a kid, and I especially loved baseball history. And when I was 15 years old, there was probably there were very few places in the world that I would have been more excited about going than Cooperstown. And my first interest in history was baseball. And I read biographies of Babe Ruth and Joe DiMaggio and Mickey Mantle and Joe DiMaggio, not just Yankees, but my introduction to the civil rights movement was through Jackie Robinson and then Roberto Clemente. And so it was so awesome to be at the Baseball Hall of Fame, having wanted to go there my entire life. I flew in and out of Albany and this is a transition because there's some good about Albany, which I'd always wanted to go to Albany, which is historically a Dutch city, and my ancestry is Dutch. And I've always had interest in going to Albany, as well as seeing the Schuyler Mansion. Philip Schuyler, who was the father-in-law of our first Treasury Secretary, Alexander Hamilton. But this is where it gets bad. I went on a run in Albany. I hit an unexpected pothole. And I have a broken bone in my ankle. That's why I'm not doing so well. I'm just bummed. All right. First of all, if you know me and you've been listening to the podcast for a while, I'm always throwing in some tidbit about running or cycling. So I hate being shut down. I'm so bummed because I felt like I was in a really good place and ready to push to some big, big runs again. And now I'm shut down for 6 weeks. All right. So whatever, that's the reality. All right, but okay, I don't think you're listening to this podcast for this, although I am sure I could spin it and give you some relevant story about setbacks and pushing through and that. Okay, I could come up with something for you, but that is not the topic of this podcast today. All right, what we were talking about today is, all right, okay, it's centered around, okay, kind of two things. One is donor experience, because right. So I'm there at the 75th anniversary of this seminary, and there were donors coming in and other donors and let's just say other important people who have been a part of this seminary in some cases for decades. And the seminary has a professional staff. They have a rector, they have a dean, they have a development director. And these are the people who maintain over a long period of time the key relationships between the institution and the key stakeholders, which, by the way, is a term that I actually like. Stakeholders. That is an all-encompassing term. I use the word donors. I use that term donors a lot, even though I don't like the term, which is so unlike me, by the way. I feel like, okay, this is a topic I will have to think about another day, and maybe podcast about another day. But why do I keep using a term I don't really like? I like the term stakeholders. All right. So the rector, the dean, the development director, these are people who are responsible for the continuity of these relationships, right? The relationship between the institution and these key stakeholders. And in the case of this institution, or perhaps your institution, there are other people who would also be responsible for these relationships. But then in supporting the rector, the dean, the development director, at this institution, this weekend, right, there's support staff. In this case, there's interns, others who may assist in this. But while there may be a few people who are responsible for relationships long-term, every single person who is a part of an institution who will in any way interact with the key stakeholder, right? Every single person represents the institution. You know that. This is not rocket science. I may have a long-term relationship with a business, a restaurant, and I may know the owner of that restaurant. And I may love Juan, who owns the restaurant. And I may see Juan occasionally when I'm at the restaurant, and he'll come over and he'll talk to me, and it makes me feel great. But it's the people who work the register or who refill my water, who I interact with every day, who ultimately form my impression of the restaurant, and many who I don't interact with, right? The people who clean the restrooms, right? All these people ultimately form my impression of the restaurant. And so the day before the event, this big 75th anniversary is going to take place, the day before, they fly me in to address the students, the faculty, and the staff, everyone who is working the event in any way or participating in the event in any way. In some cases, these were people who were working registration tables, people serving as table anchors, right? So there's banquet dinners and things like that. So they're placing students at particular tables. There are students working booths, right? Just people who in any way were going to be a part of the weekend. And I loved this. I love that the seminary's leadership saw the value in this, that they understand that each and every person that their guests interact with, everyone and everything contributes to the lingering feeling that the guests would take home with them after the weekend was done, right? Everything matters. It's something I've talked about on this podcast many times before. The way welcome packets look matters. The quality of the folders matters. The printing matters. The visuals matter, right? The way that packet is handed to the guest when the guest arrives, the way the name tags are printed and handed to the guest, and right, like those interactions matter. Everything matters. All right, so one of my favorite books that I'm quoting all the time is Robert Miakelli's book, The Starbucks Experience. And many of you have heard me talk about this book in the past, but right, Starbucks changed our culture. They changed our society. It's hard for us to even recognize now how much Starbucks has changed our culture. But I just want to point out again, if you've not heard me point this out before, that the year that Starbucks went public, more Americans owned private planes than owned espresso machines. That's how much Starbucks changed our culture. In the Starbucks Experience by Robert Miakelli, he talks about how we often can't specifically describe what causes us to feel a certain way. Like, why did you feel good at that event? Why did you feel good at that restaurant? We usually can't really describe it. So psychologists Dr. Eugene Gendon coined the term felt sense. What is your felt sense? He had a best-selling book called Experiencing and the Creating of Meaning. And in that book, he describes these emotional responses. So a felt sense, listen to this, a felt sense is ultimately the result of a myriad of tiny details that lurk somewhere below our conscious awareness, right? It's 100 details that I couldn't pick out. And so for the seminary on this weekend, it was about more than the quality of the speakers or the academic content or even the religious services. What was the culture? Was there a culture of hospitality? And in this particular case, with this particular seminary, there was already a culture of hospitality there. But was every single person, from the rector and the dean to professors to staff to students, were they committed to being host and having this wonderful spirit of service that goes beyond are we doing the basics well, or it's just a welcome packet? Who cares if it's just a welcome packet? Like, I care. Donors care. It's the details behind that packet that matters. So we went through all this stuff, right? The everything matters approach. Yes, details matter. Having everything matters attitude. But ultimately, the kind of service we want our guests to have when they're coming to be with us, the kind of service that we want to deliver, you can't script. I can't tell people, here's what you do this weekend. Like, true service comes from the heart. And so one of the things I really tried to do with the students was to take the pressure off the idea that this is a fundraising event, right? This is not a fundraiser, right? This is a gathering of people who share our values. Because remember, we don't buy things with money. We buy things with tiny fragments of our lives. So every gift you or I ever give to an institution, it ties our life, our very lives, right, to that institution. So our guests at an event like this are not mere financial contributors, right? They are our closest potential friends, because these are people with whom we share common values and a common vision for what's important in the past and what is important for the future. I also shared with them my sandwich, which went over great with students and is a concept, or I will admit I am still developing, but it was fun over the weekend because I gave this presentation on a Thursday and I had a lot of students over the course of the weekend come up to me and say, like, I had a sandwich conversation with someone. So what is a sandwich? It's this new thing I've been doing, right? So, like, if you think about a sandwich, you want two great big pieces of bread, and this is not flat bread. We want two great big pieces of bread, and we always, in every conversation, we have thank you bread, right? So you start the conversation with a piece of thank you bread. Hey, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for being a part of this over the course of the weekend. Thank you for honoring us with your time. I know there's lots of things you could be doing and you're here. Thank you, right? And then a typical sandwich, you're going to have some meat and you're going to have some cheese. And the meat, and in the case of the students this weekend, I was like, think about the meat being your story. Why are you here? Why are you at the seminary? And the cheese is asking some questions to give the donor an opportunity to talk about why they're there. Why are you here? You could be anywhere this weekend and you're here. Oh, you've been involved with the seminary for 40 years. Why? Like, of all the organizations you could be in, like, give them a chance to articulate to you why they're there. And then, of course, there's going to be some other stuff. There's going to be some lettuce. There's going to be some mayo. There's going to be some other things on this sandwich that are going to come in, right? About the weather, about where you're from, about travel, about movies, whatever. But That's your basic sandwich. And then you got one more piece of bread on top, and that's just more gratitude. Oh, thank you so much for the chance to talk with you about these things. And that was a very fun thing that we were able to do over the course of the weekend, is just kind of help guide these students through how do you have a meaningful conversation with people. Think about a thank you sandwich in your everyday life. Look, we can think about it in a development context, but isn't this a great way to have a conversation in real life? By the way, I do like this sandwich idea, but I should point out, I was giving this advice to students who are going to anchor tables. For yourself, Mr. or Mrs. Development Officer, you may think about reversing. You want to, if the meat and cheese, you want the meat to be the donor talking, right? You want to get the donor talking more and more and more about their giving, why they give, right? Why they love the institution. And the cheese should be your story, why you're involved. That's just a little clarification there. All right, that's it. That's all I've got for you today. Hey, one other thing I want to get on your radar screen, though, before I sign off today. One other quick thing. Because I know that it takes time, right? It takes time to sometimes get these things approved. It takes time for them to percolate in your own mind before you're ready to sign on. So I want to plant one seed in your mind for you. So as we come towards end of year, right, we're coming into the last months of the year, you're going to be inundated, but we're going to turn the calendar year into 2024. Peak Performance is our flagship virtual training program. Along with Peak Performance Fundraising, you can also sign up for one-on-one coaching with me, or also group coaching. All right, so one-on-one coaching, you can sign up for at various times, but you really only have limited windows when you are able to sign up for our group coaching cohorts. So January of this coming year will be a time that you will have an opportunity to sign up for one of our group coaching cohorts, where you can link arms with other professionals who, like you, want to be great. All right. So if you are interested in that, go to majorgiftsfundraiser.com. All right. Go to the tab on services, scroll down, look for the page on one-on-one or group coaching. Of course, I would love to work with you in a one-on-one relationship as well, but group coaching, we're going to have a window opening up for that in January. So that is something to think about now. All right, go to majorgiftsfundraiser.com to learn more, or you can always email me. The email is clark@majorgiftsfundraiser.com. That is clark@majorgiftsfundraiser.com. All right. Okay, the foot hurts, but just talking to you is putting me in a little bit better mood. And I've got some more time to work over the next 6 weeks because I'm not going to be running. All right. Hey, thanks so much for listening. Have a great day.
Hey, Monica here. I hope you've been enjoying the podcast and getting some great bits of information from each episode. I want to take just a minute and talk with you about how you can work with Clark as your development coach, or as he likes to put it, your mountain guide. If you were going to trek into the mountains, you may hire a mountain guide. If it's a big mountain and you don't know the terrain and you don't have experience in those parts, you certainly should have a guide. So when it comes to nonprofit development and major gifts fundraising, Clark can be that guide. He has been in these mountains before. He has over 20 years of experience and has raised millions of dollars for all different types of organizations. He knows what to expect. He's seen a lot. He knows the terrain. And like a mountain guide, he can help you. He can't take the steps for you, but he can take them with you. He has a map. He has a plan. He knows the weather. He can be your guide. So if you're looking for a coach to help take you to new heights, we're here to help. We can put together a custom coaching package that works for you. For more information, reach out to me on email at monica@majorgiftsfundraiser.com. That's Monica, M-O-N-I-C-A, @majorgiftsfundraiser.com.